Francis and Bobby are former lovers turned best friends who perform spoken word poetry together in Dublin. When they meet Melissa, a successful photographer in her 30s, at one of their performances, their carefully balanced world begins to shift. Melissa invites them to her elegant home, where Francis encounters Nick, Melissa's handsome but somewhat withdrawn actor husband. While Bobby develops an immediate infatuation with Melissa, Francis finds herself drawn to the quiet Nick. Their initial interactions establish the power dynamics that will shape the entire story. Francis, despite her youth and reserved nature, wields significant influence through her sharp intellect and observant eye. During Melissa's birthday party, Francis and Nick find themselves alone in the utility room, where the summer heat and sexual tension culminate in a kiss that will irrevocably alter all their relationships. What begins as a flirtatious email exchange transforms into something far more complicated when Melissa leaves town for work. Why do we gravitate toward connections that threaten the stability we've built? Perhaps because desire rarely follows the neat boundaries we try to establish in our lives. During Melissa's London trip, Francis and Nick's relationship evolves into intense physical intimacy that often moves Francis to tears. Nick introduces her to new experiences, expanding her emotional and sexual horizons. Yet Nick remains emotionally distant, never complimenting her appearance or showing public affection. When Melissa returns, he grows remote, communicating only through late-night messages. Francis responds with cold sarcasm, feeling disgusting and bitter, convinced Nick had screwed me up in his hand like paper and tossed me away. The affair creates wider ripples. When Bobby discovers Francis's feelings for Nick, she sends an accusatory email highlighting how Francis's involvement threatens their primary emotional relationship. Francis's self-deception becomes evident as she justifies her behavior through Nick's revelations about his troubled marriage, while feeling guilty about betraying both Melissa and Bobby. How easily we convince ourselves that our desires are justified, even as we recognize the damage they might cause. The breaking point arrives when Melissa invites Francis and Bobby to her French villa. Despite reservations about staying with her lover's wife, Francis agrees. The idyllic setting, a beautiful villa with blue shutters and sailboat wallpaper, belies the emotional drama unfolding. At breakfast, when Melissa's friend mentions women who pursue married men as a challenge, Francis presses her heel into her foot, physically manifesting her pain. Throughout their stay, Nick and Francis establish a pattern of secret nighttime encounters. Tension peaks during a party game where Nick draws Francis's name, making their attraction obvious to everyone. Afterward, Melissa privately tells Francis she notices Nick's crush but trusts her, a conversation that intensifies Francis's guilt. When Francis later suggests Nick is having an affair for attention while still loving his wife, they argue. Alone, she finally confronts the painful truth. He doesn't love you. That's what hurts. Sometimes we travel thousands of miles only to face the very truths we've been running from at home. Throughout the story, class differences create powerful barriers between characters. Francis comes from a modest background with an alcoholic father, while Bobby moves in wealthy circles where her radical politics are dismissed as bourgeois self-deprecation. Visiting her father's small house, Francis confronts his grim reality: unwashed dishes, garbage, and the smell of chip oil, triggering a sudden urge to harm myself. Francis's financial struggles intensify as she survives on meager savings while hiding her troubles from Bobby. Nick notices her empty kitchen and brings food. When Francis admits her father's unreliable allowance payments have left her penniless, Nick insists on loaning her money. In one revealing moment, Francis tries on Nick's expensive cashmere coat while naked, sparking a discussion about money and power. This scene encapsulates how class differences permeate their intimate connections, with Francis simultaneously coveting and resenting Nick's financial security. We pretend class doesn't matter in modern relationships, yet it shapes our interactions, creating invisible walls between those closest to us. Frances's body becomes a battleground throughout the novel. During a visit to her mother, she experiences severe pain and bleeding so intense she vomits, requiring hospitalization. In the emergency ward, she faces a judgmental doctor before a gynecologist performs a painful pelvic exam, revealing her diagnosis, endometriosis, an incurable condition causing pain and potential infertility. Frances also turns to self-harm. After learning Nick and Melissa have resumed their relationship, she cuts herself with nail scissors, watching blood seep into tissue while contemplating death. She describes feeling like an empty cup, her illusions about her value shattered. Her body becomes a metaphor for her emotional state, fragile, vulnerable, and increasingly damaged by her choices. Her physical deterioration mirrors her growing disconnection from others, showing how emotional pain manifests physically when we lack language to express it directly. How often do our bodies speak the truths our minds refuse to acknowledge? The most important things often remain unsaid between characters. Frances and Nick's relationship begins through email exchanges that grow competitive and thrilling, like table tennis, expressing thoughts they struggle to articulate face-to-face. Frances loves their online relationship, like a Word document we wrote together, a private joke no one else understood. Physical gestures communicate what words cannot. Nick pressing his cold beer bottle against Frances's cheek conveys desire more effectively than speech. Later, when he wraps her in a towel, his look shows their intimate familiarity with each other's bodies without words. Technology both facilitates connection and creates distance. Frances and Nick maintain their relationship primarily through digital messages when apart, yet technology enables deception, as when Frances uses Melissa's photo on a dating app. Silence functions as its own communication. Frances can't explain her diagnosis to her mother, lying about period pain. When Nick reveals he's sleeping with Melissa again, Frances goes cold and distant, barely responding. In our hyper-connected age, why do we still struggle to say what matters most? In the novel's final movements, Frances realizes her emotional distance has become a liability rather than protection. After cutting herself, she reflects on how privacy and autonomy failed to shield her from emptiness. Frances's breakthrough comes through an email to Bobby, finally expressing her love openly. She acknowledges treating Bobby like an idea rather than a person and proposes an alternative model of loving each other. This act of vulnerability, expressing feelings without knowing how they'll be received, marks a shift from her pattern of emotional self-protection. The novel concludes with Frances moving toward vulnerability with Nick as well. During their conversation, Nick confesses waiting after their first kiss, experiencing ecstatic wretchedness, creating space for Frances to choose desire over self-protection. Standing at the gate, Frances closes her eyes, overwhelmed by the complex network of relationships and feelings. Rather than retreating into intellectual distance, she makes an emotional choice: come and get me. Perhaps the greatest courage isn't in protecting ourselves from pain, but in remaining open to connection despite knowing how much it might hurt.